This is Tom Reeves from the Armchair Journalist. You're listening to Trenton Waves on the New Pod City Podcast Network.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events,
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
You know what's funny?
What?
We're in the parking lot waiting for our next guest to arrive.
Yes.
The car pulls in and out steps.
You know I was there, right?
Yeah, I know, but I just can't, I can't get over the way. You know, you were, the last week's show, you were getting on me about my black socks and my black sneakers.
Uh-huh.
And now this week, the guest comes. Not only is he in black socks and black sneakers, but he's wearing this bandana around his
face. But it works on him.
And there's mirrored glasses and a hat. He looked like an absolute maniac.
No, he didn't. I think he looked better than you did with your black socks.
I disagree.
I don't like the shorts in the black socks. He had, like...
Yeah, they were, like, cut off. It's like he had his pants in the dryer too long.
Pedal pushers.
Pedal pusher
Does
pants.
Anybody know what that is?
Does anybody know what pedal pushers are? If you do, drop us an email and we'll send you something if you're right.
But manly pedal pushers.
Manly pedal pushers. Oh, this is a female. Now you're giving away too many hints. You're giving away way too many clues.
Anyway.
All right, so on with the show.
Yes.
Here today with us, we have a remarkable human being. But based on what he's wearing today, he doesn't look like a human at all. He looks like a humanoid.
Actually, the Invisible Man.
He looks like the Invisible Man, yes!
When he's dressed.
Well, yeah. Well, no, when he's invisible. Don't worry, we'll get to you in a minute.
Right.
But yeah, exactly. So, all right. That's one thing that you can say about this show. We couldn't care less about the guests. That's how it seems. Well, that's how it seems. Well, that's how it seems.
Yes.
You know, we have our conversation usually.
No, I care about the guests. Very much so.
Yeah.
I'm interested in everything they have to say.
Everything?
Everything.
Mm. Even Erin? I could do without most of what she says.
I'll leave Erin out of this.
Today we have with us the incredible photographer extraordinaire, Mr. Mm-hmm. Andrew Roger Wilco Wilkinson is with us. Welcome, Andrew, to the show.
Thank you.
You can say hello. Thank you. What are you, Elvis?
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Oh, so glad you're here.
After you ridicule my bicycle riding outfit.
That's your cycling outfit?
Part of it.
Part of it? What?
There's more.
The socks.
Hey, you hear that music?
Yes, I do.
You know what that means. This is the first of the Trenton Waves British Invasion series.
Yes.
We're starting off with Mr. Wilkinson.
There's a few Brits that live in Trenton.
They're right across the pond.
Yes.
Proud to represent.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Mm. Oh, this is really going great so far. Let me tell you, if this is any indication of the way this show is going.
My.
Andrew, now you are a photographer, but you're so much more than that, though, too, aren't you?
Yes.
You're a property owner in Trenton?
That's right, yeah.
You're, dude, help me out here.
Well, I became a photographer. I studied it.
You studied photography?
And that's what I wanted to be. And
okay.
Then, you know, 10 years went by and I looked back and that's what I was doing.
Oh, it was one of those deals.
Yeah.
You also have a podcast on the New Pod City Podcast Network called Black Shuck.
Yeah.
Available on iTunes, available on New Pod City. And there's only one episode, though.
So far.
You do one episode every year. Is that what it is?
Yeah, we're working on the next one. I really am proud of that podcast. That was a lot of fun.
Black Shuck.
Thanks for recording that for us.
Oh, thank you for joining the team. Thank you for joining the network.
So
yeah, you can go check it out on New Pod City.
Comes up by searching my name as well as, I think, A Strange and Terrible Wonder because it's such a long title. So much work goes into those podcasts.
Yes.
I don't know how people do it every week.
Well, especially that podcast, that was like a whole, that was like very cinematic.
It was pretty healthy.
Yeah.
We spent a very long time on research and music and everything.
What made you want to do that?
Oh, it was kind of funny. Where my sister lives in the UK, there's this area called East Anglia. It's sort of described in the podcast. And there was a lot of sightings of black dogs over the centuries that would cause mayhem. And there was a lot of accounts of it. So my sister got really interested in it. And she was sort of getting to be quite obsessed by it. And then I thought that, wow, this is a lot. Maybe if I offer up that we do a podcast, it will get this out of her system. But it only stoked it.
Oh, yeah, it made it worse. It had the opposite effect.
Totally worse. She dragged us all in.
I like how he says that the folklore was basically... So there was these sightings of these black dogs.
Well, it's like the Hounds of the Baskervilles.
Like, I see black dogs all over the place.
Yeah, it's thought that that story was inspired by the actual sightings.
This is what I thought of right away when you said this. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's just so many strange accounts of large animals standing on their hind legs, being able to walk, and part wolf.
Yeah. So you're thinking... Like werewolf?
Yeah.
What could be? Yeah, I don't know.
I wasn't even thinking that.
I don't think it goes into that.
Right. Okay.
Exactly. What kind of pushed it forward was a grave was dug up at a churchyard, and these bones were found that were animal bones, and the animal would have been about 7 foot.
So this is intriguing.
And this was fairly recent. Mm-hmm. So. My sister did all the research up to that point.
Oh, that's so cool. Very interesting.
I'm going to play a clip of Black Shuck. Here's Andrew on Black Shuck. Listen.
It was the Sunday when they sing Excurge Quare. Many men both saw and heard a great number of huntsmen hunting. The huntsmen were black, huge, and hideous, and rode on black horses and on black he-goats. And their hounds were jet black, with eyes like saucers and horrible.
Dude, you sound good over music. You gotta help me out, dude. Just stare at me. It's an audio show. Just looking at me.
Well, I have a question. So I ask all our guests this question. What on your journey of life has brought you to Trenton?
If this is going to be a one-word answer, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to smack you.
Well, long ago, when I bought my house, that was sort of the logical area. I'm in Titusville, Washington's Crossing.
Okay.
Right? And that was this logical... sort of central point for where my girlfriend's parents lived, where my parents lived, and just sort of we consolidated everything, and it was really ideal. And I had been really sort of pounding the pavement, trying to get more and more work, like design work, photography work, anything I could get, sort of on the other side, like in the Bucks County area. Mm-hmm. And like, nothing happened, like nothing was shaking out. And I had done some work in London, and here a little bit, on independent films. So I thought, well, you know, I've got the time. I'll donate my creative services to like some non-profit or whatever. And I looked it up, and there was a Trenton Film Festival's first festival was coming up. So I emailed somebody, happened to be Roland Pott. And I said, listen, I'd like to donate my services to design a poster or a logo. Wow. And it turned into everything.
Wow.
It turned into, you know, website, brochure, catalogs, newspaper inserts, you name it. And mm-hmm. It was such a fun ride. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't realize at the time was everybody that was involved in sort of a board member type position, they all had businesses in the area, and they liked the work that I'd done. So I was getting passed around like the duchy.
Oh, wow.
What does that mean, like the duchy?
I'm looking.
What does that mean? We had the New Jersey weed man on already. It's okay.
Oh, he's cool. So that was like the first thing. And then all of a sudden, like kaboom, like my business built. Like, mm-hmm. purely on the backs of all the businesses that were here. And there was, sure. like, so much love, like, such amazing community in the business. What rooted it further was a mutual friend of mine and my friend Lauren Otis, Sarah Stengel. She's a really great artist. She mm-hmm. was in the area. I didn't really know her that well. Like, she knew Lauren a bit better. Lauren was on the lookout for a building. Like, he wanted to buy a building for whatever reason. And I thought that, well, if I can get in on it, maybe I could do the marketing and I could have some space. Mm. That was my initial thought.
Okay.
And we looked at tons of buildings together. I never figured I could afford one. And then out of nowhere, Sarah came to us and she's like, I'm selling my building. Do you want to buy it? And we were like, oh, sure. Mm-hmm. So we went in on it as partners and we bought the building on Cass Street that's been our studio.
Oh, okay. We
750
know that one.
Cass Street. The home of One Up One Down Coffee.
Yes.
Vince mm-hmm. and Natalie, who were on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those guys are great.
Aren't they
those
wonderful?
Those guys are good.
Yeah.
I have a quick question about that. So you're the landlord of this building.
Mm-hmm.
They move in. They're doing their thing. How do you not know who that is? We had met you.
Yeah. And we had just did the interview with them, and they said, oh, we're taking over from Trenton Roasters. We were like, oh, you own the building where the coffee roasters are. And you're like, I do? Like, those are my tenants? And I'm like,
Yes. Do you remember this?
I think I sort of wanted to stop introducing me as her landlord. I just sort of...
Oh, is that what it was?
I didn't really need that title, you know? I'm just a guy. That sort of came up a lot. It's like, and I think my brain had to shift gears at that moment. Like, what's happening?
Can't stop it. This is what's happening.
So, it's sort of... So it can be a real drag being a landlord, not because of the tenants, just because of the maintenance and the taxes.
You know? Yes.
I mean, tenants make it fun.
Yes. You know,
they're
always cool.
Yeah.
You know, you want to provide for them, and then they have a life and this creative space people come to. You know, it's really cool. Like, that aspect of it is sort of this interaction and communication and things happening.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Especially with the previous one.
Mm-hmm. How long have you known Roland Pott? Speaking about
very long time
passing the Dutch.
Yeah, really long time.
Well, because of his name, Roland Pott. I mean, come on.
I'm sure we probably had to deal with that growing up.
Oh, see, I thought that meant something completely different.
What are you talking about?
Kitchen pot.
I thought what passing the Dutchie meant something different.
What did you think it meant? No. Now, what did you think it meant? We have to hold this in for a minute. I want to know what you thought that meant.
I thought it meant like... a sexual thing.
A sexual thing? Passing the Dutchie?
I'm going to interject here. Like, when I grew up, there's this amazing sort of reggae song by this group called Musical Youth. Like a bunch of kids. They might have been related, but there's one that's really small. He's the lead rapper, and there's a really tall one, you know. And they filmed this video on one of the bridges in London. And it's really interesting to see it after all these years. And they have this song called Pass the Dutchie. And it goes... the video elevates to this point where they're... in a courtroom, and then it's continuing to sing, you know, to sing the song. I just freaking love that song so much, and that song is always in my head.
Oh, it's like a real earworm.
Yeah, it's been stuck there since like 1987.
Wow! 31 years he's had this in his head, this song. Yeah. And you're still thinking about the sexual part to pass. It's like, hey, baby, pass the Dutchie.
It might have been,
we're at that point.
I mean, words change. It might have been mutated into something else now.
She's off to the side by herself crying. Mm. She's crying.
Well, you know, if you look anything up online, like, you know, have caution. I mean, if you don't have the right, you know, arrangement of words, a surprise could happen.
What is going on in your head
so
now?
I want to ask now a serious question. So how long have you been in Trenton then? When did you first...
Well, I'm not a resident, but people mistake me for a resident, which is fine. I'm happy for that. Like, people in Princeton are always like, oh, you live in Trenton? And I'm like, but I'm just a taxpayer. I just don't correct people, you know. I just gave up on that a long time ago. You know, what's the point?
I love the voice now. But, I love the voice.
So you started out in Titusville. Do you still live in Titusville?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. I have my house. It's great.
Beautiful.
What? I think you lived in Trenton.
See? You're one of the people.
I totally thought you lived in Trenton.
Well, and he's not going to change your mind.
It never mattered to me, you know. I mean, but when you're sending out, like, art resumes and art bios and stuff like that,
right.
You know, I just... Maybe it was because I was much more... sort of active in the community with volunteerism and stuff like a while ago, that automatically people would think like, oh, if you're here, you're from here. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, during some of those things like Art All Day, I mean, it drafts people from Lawrenceville and Ewing and all over, people that want to be here and support the arts and all the stuff that's going on.
Right.
But I'm pretty firmly rooted in Titusville. I really love my house.
Well, I was going to say, we one of our walking days, I always like to walk through there, especially like at Christmas and stuff, but just recently we walked through. I love walking down the street that faces the river. One house is just as pretty as the next and so beautiful. Is there an actual town of Titusville? Like,
that is it. Like, that's that, it. That was the town that was settled by the Titus brothers.
Okay.
And there's not much information about the history of Titusville, but what I could find was pretty funny because it was settled by a church, right? So, you know, they wanted, you know, the congregation to be there and support the church. I'm not sure if it was the church that's on Church Street. It might have been another one. But I got this book, and in it is just a complete list of everybody that defaulted on their loan from the church to like settle their land.
It goes on and on and on.
It was just so hysterical. But there are still names, like, you know, my neighbor's names and other people I've known that have been in that village for generation upon generation.
Well, why would you want to leave? It's beautiful.
And houses, like, they rarely come on the market. They're just passed on by word of mouth. But where you are, I would call the island, or Fantasy Island, you know. But I'm on the hillside, so there's another part to it.
Oh, okay.
You know, as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, Beautiful.
First of all, I feel like I'm talking to one of the Beatles. I love talking to Andrew.
Well, what part of England are you from?
Well, I was in a few places. So I was born in Kent, which is the southern eastern corner,
mm-hmm.
which is really, really pretty. And then our whole family moved up north of London by about, it wasn't really that far, but it was really rural. I think it was about like 45 miles or maybe 50 miles in this sort of amazingly rural area.
You grew up around farmland and things like that. Do you like the city? Have you lived in cities?
I have. I do. I'm like two people. I lived in London for a while, which was at the time of my life. Oh, it was so good. And I also...
You just had a memory there.
Did you see how his eyes lit up?
I had a flash. Well, I got a really good job. I got a job for this film company, and they did promotions in Leicester Square, where they have, you know, I guess the equivalent is like Times Square in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, like massive theatres.
Is it really that big?
You've been there.
Yeah, it's pretty big. It's quite a big square.
Not like it's Piccadilly Circus.
No, not as big as that. No, it's nowhere near as big as that. I mean, it's sort of a walking square area where all the movie theatres are. So there's premieres and stuff all the time. Right. So it was a big deal. So I worked for this film company, and it was a lot of fun. We had to work on films, and usually a film would come over from America, and then the company I was with would get all of the materials, and we would redesign posters and giveaways. There was a whole floor of promotional people. So we were always going to really fun openings and events and things like that. It was a really good time.
That sounds like a fun job.
Yeah. And then I lived in New York City for a while. It was quite a contrast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it was really...
What year was this?
Oh, I've got very foggy timelines.
80s, 90s?
It was like early 90s.
Okay, so New York was still kind of New York.
What part of New York City did you live in?
Yeah, we talked about that before. I lived on Cornelia Street, which is like around West 3rd.
Oh, okay.
Oh, West Village.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was very busy, pretty noisy area.
Pretty area, though.
Yeah, I mean, for access to everywhere else, it was really pretty ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was really difficult. I couldn't get a job for so long. I was just like, I ran out.
What did you do? Like, how did you even survive?
I reached this point where I remember I had to sell my roller skates for money.
Roller skates?
I had roller skates.
Wow.
I basically had a suitcase, roller skates, and a guitar. That was about it.
And
you just said, I'm going to New York.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, I thought I wanted to give it a try. Because I really loved, like, the London life was really great. It was hard, though. I mean, where I was living was sort of kind of like an illegal sort of loft area. It would take so long to get across London, like three trains, you know. It was tough living there, honestly, but fun though, really, really fun. But New York was such a contrast, you know, when it was, you know, like it is now. It's just really hard to find a job, like, for anybody.
Yeah.
And it just kept going on and on and on and on. And I was like, oh no, like charging money and getting cash off a credit card is usually financial ruin.
Yeah, really.
You know, and then it just went from 0 to 60. I got like a corporate job.
Oh, wow.
All of a sudden made more money than I could spend. It was a really dangerous place for me to be.
I can't see you in a corporate.
It was graphic design for a corporate company.
Oh, you know that really.
So it's like
Oppenheimer funds and Goldman Sachs stuff. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's creatively soul-destroying.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
But you've got to do it. You know, you've got to dig yourself out for a while. So that's happened to me so many times that I didn't want it to happen anymore. So I was like, okay, I'm going to... like, stop moving around, like, get some stability.
So now, what are you doing now?
Well, I teach, which I really love teaching, and I still do a lot of photography, like product photography, portrait photography, a good amount of graphic design. I'd like to do more graphic design, actually, but I'm spending so much of my time doing course design and writing.
Mm.
Oh, it takes ages. I write courses all the time.
Really?
You know, yeah. Yeah, so that takes up a lot of my schedule.
Where are you teaching?
Well, Stuart Country Day is an all-girls private Catholic school in Princeton, like K-12, and they've got a very strong arts department, and they brought me in 5 years ago. They sort of did a survey to gauge interest in digital media.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a room. Good luck.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So was that?
Built the department. Yeah, I mean, for what we do.
Yeah, okay, still.
Or, yeah, I didn't realize how much work it was.
Yeah.
Last November, we were walking around Art All Day,
mm-hmm.
and we went into 750 Care Street, one up, one down coffee, and upstairs, we just wandered upstairs. We saw Laura Beard up there, a Trenton artist painting a panda.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever finish that picture? I want to see that picture.
Oh, she did. She's always working.
And Andrew's in the back with a curtain, and he goes, hey, I can't do an Andrew Wilkinson impression. It'll sound like a pirate or a beetle.
Right.
Hey, Frank, I want you to see something. Just sit down for a second.
It doesn't sound like that.
If John Lennon was playing... Well, that's John Lennon playing Andrew Wilkinson.
You're channeling.
But he had this red gel. He goes, I'm trying something new. Just sit down a minute. I want to take a picture. And he had this red gel on the camera. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, you and I were posing for Andrew.
It was fun.
Mm-hmm. Actually, one of those pictures is on franksasso.com. It's on the. It's actually the homepage graphic.
Oh, okay.
It's just that picture. I just put my logo on the bottom of the cup, but that's that's about it. But you were having so... You were like a kid on Christmas that day.
Well, I've been experimenting with infrared digital photography because I get... I don't want to say I get bored with photography, but I want to keep experiencing all of the things that photography is now. And I was never very good at infrared film. I found it really difficult. But over the last few years, you can get a camera converted. So you mail it to this company, and then they redo the circuit board. So it'll photograph in infrared. So I'd done a lot of things, you know, for the last year or so that I was really into. It took a long time for me to figure out, even taking workshops and all the processing. It's not sort of one and done like regular digital photography.
Right.
And it's always better with Art All Day if you have a demo or live painting or something going on. It's mm-hmm. much more engaging for people to be interested in or participate or hang around in it longer.
Right.
Rather than me just sort of look at people.
Well, that was the thing, because he made us part of the experience, which was a lot
of
fun.
Right, it's actually happening.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah, it's very strange what it does in terms of portraiture, because if you have black hair, your hair seems to go sort of gingery red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that if its best use is with portraiture. Landscapes come out great. I've seen one other photographer that has done something like, you know, some photography of sort of models in the woods, and they're really, really good. Well, he doesn't process them all the way, though, which is very interesting. He leaves them in these purple and yellow color fields, or especially any flora just looks really alien, like, you know, so that it's just a fun sort of art sidebar. And I have this expression, maybe it's not a very good one, called shooting fish in a barrel. And when I need to experiment with something, Art All Day is like the perfect moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will be people that are milling around and looking at things and wanting to do things. And if they see sort of lights and cameras and photo studio stuff, then they're more, you know, likely to be a part of it. And I finish the job and, you know, publish it and put it out there. But, you know, it's great these visiting subjects will let me, mm-hmm. you know, experiment with photography. It's not mm-hmm. like a JCPenney portrait session. It's not right. going to happen. Right. You know, it's going to be something, you know, we haven't really seen before, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Speaking about something that we've never really seen before,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to turn this a little bit to something we haven't heard before. We actually have Andrew's sister on the line, Miss Jackie Piper. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
All the way from England.
What time is it there right now?
It is exactly 7:58.
Oh, because it's exactly 3:06 here. So how is that? That's a weird kind of time difference. So, Jackie, we were talking a little bit about Black Shuck. Remember when you did that?
I do. And it was our very first podcast, which was, that in itself was a learning experience. But it was just so lovely to have the chance to work with my brother for the first time, actually. Weirdly.
Right. Well, unfortunately, usually podcasts are done every week. I know you're trying to break the mold and doing one a year. I don't know how many
Once
people are going to hang around for that. So are you planning on another show sometime soon?
Well, we currently already working on a show which has now got the added twist of being a socially distanced event. Apart from Andy and I are already obviously being an ocean apart.
Uh-huh.
It's The Green Man. So it's about the legend of the Green Man.
Oh, I know that one, yes.
You know that one?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting. Andy's already started writing some music, and we've already started putting a costume together. And it's a two-part event. The first Ooh. Part is going to be on the summer solstice, which is June the 21st. And the second part is going to be on December the 21st, the winter solstice. But at the moment, it's going to end up being, I think, just a solo event with myself in a field. Socially distanced people on mobile phones or something. I don't know.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
And then your next episode is going to be the history of passing the duchy, right?
Something like that.
But I want you to do Christina's version of it.
I didn't realize it was had to do with smoking pot. I thought it was a sexual thing.
She thought it was a sexual thing.
That's where my mind went.
All right, is there anything you want to add, anything you want to promote, anything you want to plug before we get rid of you?
Well, other than that, we're going to try and work out how to do a socially distanced podcast for The Green Man involving yourself.
It's very simple. It's very easy.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, it's going to be a delight to work with you again from a distance. Okay. But it'll be the Green Man when you next
the
hear
Green
me.
Man. Yeah. I can't All wait. Right.
It was so Thank nice you to so meet much. You. Bye.
All right, Jackie.
Love you guys. Bye.
Love you too.
Love you, Jackie.
Bye bye. Off you go. All right.
The Green Man I know from Midsummer Murders.
Oh, of course.
It was one of the episodes. Anyway, go ahead.
No. Well, I gotta say, Andrew, not for nothing, but she had a lot more energy than you do.
She's been drinking wine.
Ah.
In my defense.
Maybe that's what we need. We have a bottle of wine here.
I know, but I don't actually have a corkscrew.
Is that the only reason that's not open already?
Do you have glasses?
Do you like some wine? No?
Okay.
Nah, I already did a 20-mile ride this morning.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. So you did that already.
Yeah, I went to Stockton.
That's why he's wearing those clothes.
Oh, you went to Stockton. How? We were just talking about this because we were walking on the canal. And I was like, we should bring our bikes and take a ride to Lambertville, have a picnic or lunch, and then ride back.
Oh, yeah. There's so many places you could stop. It's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. It would be beautiful.
You know what bugs me about Roland Pont? I'm going to tell you. Because I meant to say this before and I almost forgot.
He should be on the show. He
should be on the show.
Yeah.
I think he tries to pass himself off as if he's European.
Well, he's had English parents.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Duh. Now don't you feel foolish?
I didn't know. I actually thought he was just trying to pull himself over somebody European.
You always managed to put your foot in your mouth.
I don't feel like
no,
that.
No, he didn't go to acting school.
What?
He said he didn't go to acting school.
What does that mean?
He's not putting on a show.
Yeah, this English wit. I'm not used to this.
All right. So do you bike a lot?
Yes.
On the canals?
Yeah, I got a couple hundred miles a month.
Wow. Wow.
Wow, dude, that's amazing.
You're going to eat whatever you want.
This is my thing. Oh, okay. I gotta do.
You know, go ahead, say it.
So especially because I haven't been at the gym. I used to I used to teach and whatever.
Right.
No one's at the gym anymore, and I can't do the whole Zoom. Let's exercise in front of the commuter. I'm not into that. I'd rather be outside walking or riding. So that's going to be my next thing.
Okay,
I'm riding.
But what's the problem? You said yesterday this is the problem with men. They look better as they age.
How's that had to do with bicycle
rides? I thought that's what you were going to start talking about. He can eat anything he wants, he says. And you were saying,
that's because he bikes. That's what Regina said. Now, you know Regina?
No.
She was going to do, for her 60th birthday, she was going to do a ride from New York to Philly. She was training, and she was saying every day she would go a little further, and she was all the way going to Lambert. She was doing, I think, 70 miles. Just to try and get... No, she was riding a lot, but that's what she said. She goes, I can kind of eat anything I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point to get to.
You want to get to the point where you can eat anything you want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I eat what I want, but I feel like I'm not burning enough right now.
I feel amazing.
What's your favorite food?
Mm.
What do you like? Like, you can eat it any time, any day.
Curry.
Curry?
Me too.
Wow.
Indian food. Favorite food.
We made Indian food the other day.
Yeah, I love Indian food.
It's not easy
paneer, paneer prasada.
Yeah, yeah.
You like all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a question. What's your favorite place in Trenton to imbibe?
Well, I don't drink.
You don't?
No.
Oh.
It would be coffee, so...
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Vince and Natalie's place.
Oh,
know?
Cool.
There you go.
Cool. What about a restaurant? What's one of your favorite places?
I like that Mexican place on down the road from the studio. I'm there a good amount.
Chona y Chelo?
That's how you say it?
Is it the one across from Finca?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
They're really nice there.
They are.
I think they're great. I mean, actually, you know, every now and then, I think the food at the Mill Hill Saloon's great.
Oh, we like
you
them
know,
too.
Mm-hmm. Like, every now and then, if I want to smash up a burger, yeah, that's a great place for it.
We don't have an Indian restaurant.
Or a Vietnamese. Well, I don't know. Is there one?
An
Vietnamese?
Yeah.
Well, there's the Pho place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Far-friendly.
Far-friendly.
Yeah, I'm going to change my answer to Vietnamese food.
Oh, okay.
Like the soups?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
The noodles?
You
really?
Like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I would just think he would want something a little bit more, you know, like curry. Okay, I could see.
We have judgments on people.
I'm not making judgments. I just don't understand.
I don't know what.
Soup.
To
As
reinforce.
My favorite food.
No.
Well, soup?
It's not just a soup.
It's a bit special, you know.
You like it. You love it.
Well,
I like
I like a big bowl of noodles. But I mean, sushi would be my top of the line.
Ooh, yeah, I love sushi.
Yeah.
I could eat sushi every day for every meal, no problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me too. Anytime.
Yeah.
Spicy tuna roll, you name it.
Oh, I love spicy tuna. Where do you go for sushi?
I get it from the supermarket, actually.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Okay. There's a place right in Morrisville we found. Sushi House?
Yes,
Sushi House. We found it during this time because I was like, where can we go? And they actually let you curbside delivery, sit in your car, and they'll run it out to you.
Or you can go in, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't done. I've only done that once. I've only bought to go once since March.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to do it every week.
Experimented with that yet? How well it works or doesn't work?
So it's now pretty good. What in the takeout stuff?
Oh yeah, it works fine.
It's been working pretty good. We've done Coopers, we've done Weed Man, we've done
Smokehouse, Bonnet.
Yeah, and some of the Latino restaurants. Mm-hmm. But I do miss Mill Hill. I do miss their burgers.
Yes. So you're a single guy.
Yeah.
You dating anybody?
No, I just met somebody interesting though.
Ooh. Yeah.
Really?
Through a friend.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You just met them now during COVID?
Nah, a little before, actually. We'd gone out a bunch.
Oh, okay. Keeping in touch?
Yeah. All the time. Mm.
So what do you think about the art scene in Trenton now that we're not able to do art all night or anything like that?
Well, you know, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, the art scene here is pretty damn amazing.
Yes, it is.
It is. So... You know, it's on hold like it is everywhere. It sort of started to really affect me more now I've been sort of thinking about it and processing it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, people are trying to do online things and virtual experiences, but they're nowhere near. It's a pale comparison or experience or the energy that you would get from an art event at Artworks or something and really see the pieces with your own eyes and the scale and the distance and the atmosphere. You know, all of that has been removed. So it's going to be a struggle for a while. I mean, outdoor painters, you know, that do muralists, you know, that crew, doesn't stop them, you know. If there is, you know, I've seen in other cities when they're, you know, sort of an element of tourism where certain temporary walls are put up, you know, and then they're decorated.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. So,
people can sort of flow through an area, you know. I thought that was pretty successful. And then it was sort of a city experience when you would walk through and there would be panels on all the sides.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that would be a cool thing.
So that's a possibility. Those things that I've seen, you know, in the past overseas, they were meant to be outside for a while and then they would be changed. It wouldn't be like somebody would be hanging something on a hook outside.
Yeah.
You know, unless it was a one-day thing, because the administration for that would be... quite a lot, like it is for Art All Night, right?
Sure,
400 volunteers putting it all together.
Right.
So.
He's very cerebral.
Mm-hmm. I'm a thinker.
You really are.
I like solitude, Frank.
Since being in Trenton 16 years, I don't think we've ever had a conversation as well.
Well, it's interesting. We were just talking to someone else about a series that she's working on. It's called The Introvert. And her friend is an introvert. And she was saying that her friend is loving this time because... she's making connections with people who are also introverts and having a rich kind of social life, but yet maintaining that space where introverts will want to be, which is by themselves without people.
Well, it's very true. I've noticed that with a few people I've known that they secretly really enjoyed it after being sort of out there too much or, you know, maybe too in public. And because they're closer to me in some ways, earlier on, I was sort of making attempts to sort of talk on the phone or, you know, FaceTime or that kind of thing. And, you know, many of them were really like, yeah, I just kind of want to be alone, you know, like work, do my illustration by my desk. They were just not like the removal of people, even though they're artists, which typically work alone anyway. Mm-hmm. They're used to their longer periods of solitude and sort of inner focus, you know, so some artists probably deal with it rather well.
Well, that's another thing. Do you feel that because you have this space now, more so, that you're finding more creative ideas and because you have that time away from people and distractions?
I've saved so much time from driving and commuting, you know, that sort of thing. Honestly, it's like the same life I've led before this anyway. It's been difficult in ways just because of the shift with school, with altering all the classes for an online experience, which has been an awful lot of writing and reworking, like tons and tons of meetings. But outside of that, I've shifted my discipline because of all the music that's in my life. I've been writing a lot of music.
Oh, okay.
So if I'm not rehearsing or playing things that I've written, I've been learning music theory and all of that. So I've been needing that time. I'm pretty busy, honestly, with like working out, fixing the house, schoolwork, trying to get more work, and really learning music properly.
But you're an extrovert, though, right?
Well, I don't think it's so finite. I don't think you're one or the other. It's not that binary. Yeah. You know, I think some people might have claimed that they're an extrovert, right? Mm-hmm. But actually, maybe they're more introverted than they had thought until now. Mm-hmm. And I think you can shift over time. I think especially you have needs when you want to be around people and you want to hear what they have to say. And then there are moments when you're like, I don't want to hear what any of you have to say.
Right, right.
You know, I want to go back and like think and read and, you know, build my mind or, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. So I think it's a blurry line that can shift in different directions depending on where you are in your life and what needs you have.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with you.
I saw a quote, there's some things I follow on Instagram that I really like, and it was a Picasso quote, and he said something, he was re-quoted saying that, you know, you can only get serious work done in solitude. Mm-hmm. And I've heard other people say that recently, you know, any of you could do what you want to do. It's limiting the distractions so you're not taken away from the things that you want to develop, you know, or what you want to study.
That's interesting. That reminds me of a quote from William Trent.
I knew you were going to say that.
Everything is ticklish if you do it right. That's from William Trent.
I said that this morning because he was tickling me with his nose.
That's probably what you thought about passing the duchy.
Oh.
Maybe it had something to do with my nose.
And he's like, my nose, how is my nose ticklish? I'm like, everything's ticklish if you do it.
What is that, a quote from William Trent?
That should be a
t-shirt. Because I'm on the Trent House board. That's why I said that. I don't even know why I said that.
I love the Trent House. I've done some projects there.
Really?
Yeah, early on. I actually did a book on the Trent House.
Oh.
And that's when I was...
See, I could say anything, and he'll turn it into something and that's something that's very,
that's
very,
good, that's
very, very, very prominent and important.
No, I'm not trying to bring it to me. It was such an awesome opportunity.
No, dude, I'm saying that you make it sound very... You give it credibility.
Well, it was really exciting because the director at the time, they wanted to document the state of the rooms. I suppose they'd been restored at a certain point.
Yes.
And they'd had a photographer or two, and they were just, you know, wasn't quite right. So then they found me, and I actually did a lot of it with 4x5 photography. So I was lugging around like a giant view camera and, you know, 4x5 sheet film.
Oh,
and I still have those around. So it was a combination of that because the resolution was going to be much better. And somewhere, maybe in the gift shop there, there's a book. It's a soft cover. And the majority of the photos are ones that I did. But they let me have access whenever I wanted.
Oh, yes.
And it was so brilliant. Awesome. Like, why it worked was the level of communication and understanding. Like, to stand in each room and look at it when the absolute best light was in that room.
Oh, wow.
So that's what I would do, you know. And I just really...
Dude, we just finished the William Trent website. We just finished it. Do you have access to these pictures? I would love to
somewhere,
put them on there.
Yeah, I mean, that was in the days of... I would have turned them over like at that point, like on a CD or a DVD, like when I would back things up onto a disc rather than using an online service. They're around somewhere. I do remember getting the 4x5 scanned, and I was really, really proud when they had the book published. It was like a real achievement.
You should try and find that book.
I will put them on the website.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see if I can find it. I mean, that was one of those cases where, you know, people... in the Trenton community came to me and was like, you're a creative person, you know, in the collaboration I was working with. And then, you know, bid on, this is the job we'd want to do. And we would sort of have great discussions about what it should be or what it could be and what the budget was. And then they would just let me do whatever I really wanted to do.
Wow.
You know, it was like a lot of trust there. And that's happened again and again and again with like all the clients that I work with out of Trenton. It's like a lot of fun.
See, I'm glad I made that Trenton quote because I wouldn't have even known about
that. That's right.
Mm. Oh, one thing, since you're a board member, right?
Yeah.
Of the Trenton House, there's no... Because he was this burly Scottish man, right? William Trent.
You know? I have no idea.
You should know this.
I don't know.
How would you not know? I mean,
I'm barely scraping by on this board.
This might, it seems like it. This might not be for you then.
It seems like he says.
Well, there's no. Well, he was an importer-exporter.
Right? That I knew, yes.
Okay, so, and then he has that whole list of all of the artifacts. you know, everything, the whole inventory, which is fascinating about that.
Yes, that is fascinating.
Particular person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, there's no documentation of him. There's no portraits of him. There's nothing. I always wanted the William Trent House to do, like, a portrait competition of...
What do you think he'd look like?
What do you think he'd look like? Exactly.
Oh, this is good.
Oh, wow.
I thought that would be so funny.
That would be fun.
You know, open to all, you know.
Yes. I'm gonna bring this up
to the
next meeting.
It would be cool, open to all. Literally, you could do photograph.
Yeah.
Or you could do it as a painting, or even kids doing it.
Or a cartoon.
With crayons, because I love...
Totally.
When you go to, like, some kind of event at Artworks... and you see the kids' pictures, I get such a kick out of seeing their interpretation of whatever it is they're painting.
They're really funny, aren't
this
they?
This is a really great idea.
I love it.
I'm totally taking credit for this idea.
It's already been documented, sorry.
So where I teach, there's different age groups in the sort of, in that area. And the guy that teaches next door, he's definitely one of the best, like, lower school teachers of all time. You know, like,
wow.
These kids just produce incredible artwork. So to your point, it's always out there. It's always pinned on the walls. And then my contemporary, who's on the other side, she's sort of middle school and upper school. So there's their work. And my work for my students is upper school. So that's like the high school level. So there's this really excellent mix of work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to photograph it. So we have documentation and an archive, which we kind of use quite frequently. So I derive such joy from those sort of uninhibited image, paintings and drawings. Some of them are just really funny.
Yes.
You know, and they do some collage work where they cut stuff out of old fashion magazines and National Geographics and stick them together.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a point, though. It usually relates to, like, architecture or nature or animals. There's a real idea of build with how certain people approach it. It's mad good. Like, we're always looking at it and laughing. We're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
It's
fascinating.
I get to see it all the time. I've been sort of missing that, you know, because there's a cycle of various projects when things come down and new things go up. And you're like, oh, yeah, there's going to be some gold up there.
We on the board are always looking to work with schools and students. That would be a great thing to pitch to one of your classes. To say, hey, look. We want you to envision, go to the William Trent website, check it all out, get as much information as you can, and we want you to put together something that you, and it could be a costume, it could be a photo, it could be an illustration, it could be a painting, watercolor, clay figure, whatever, a sculpture, of what you think, your interpretation of what Trent looked like. And then the winner will get whatever, you know, we'll figure something out. We're always looking to do something like that, and it just hasn't happened yet.
Well, that would be a great point of engagement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do have to say, it is very difficult to give a sort of a creative brief in the high school environment because we're so busy, like, all the time, and, like, our schedule is really fixed. So I constantly get, like, calls for entries from certain things and saying, hey, could you just give this to your class? Like, a lot of times in sort of the upper level, they don't have time. They're doing, like, AP chemistry and biology,
right,
and they just
right.
can't fit it in. They would if they had more room. You'd have to have a long lead time, and, like, it really accept the fact that it's going to take several months if you were to sort of solicit high schools. But you have to do all the work. You've got to have a list of all of, like, the points of, bullet points of information and inspiration.
Because I'm thinking about just doing a video where I can just get the video done, put the challenge out there. Then we're going to announce the winners on such and such a date, months out, and then just rank the thing on YouTube, and then schools all over the country can get involved.
Yeah, I think national will call for entries, or it would be great.
Yeah.
For the younger group, it could be what did he eat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, what sort of food?
You
could sort of separate the categories.
That's great. And then for the more advanced kids, it could be like, what did he look like?
Figurative,
I really know Gracie would jump on this in a minute.
I wanted to ask you, when you were photographing the Trent House, did you ever stay there at night? Did you ever go back at night?
No, I didn't. There was no need to. Like, the most beautiful light was during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it never really crossed my mind to be in there by candlelight or oil lamp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that you say that, maybe 20 years later, they'll call me back to finish the job.
But
when they hear this, you're going to get a phone call.
And see how it looks. But at the time, like, the light was so beautiful. And there was even an amazing garden as well, like a vegetable and flower garden where they used to do demos.
Yeah.
Got some shots there that I was so happy with the magnolia trees in bloom. So it was sort of a bit of inside outside, but it didn't cross my mind to do something at night, really, because everything in there at that time was quite minimal, but it had been finely crafted, you know, so, like, the experience was the quality of the light on those details, like, because they were quite simple.
I know what you mean about, like, because I've been there during the daylight, and the windows are so big and they let in so much of that light from, I guess, from the west, and it's just beautifully lit, and everything's so white.
It is. It's very bright.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the texture of the floors, the unfinished floors, I really like.
My final question to all our guests is, when you envision a dream trend, what does it look like to you?
Oh, I think there'd be a bit more prosperity and opportunity, you know. I mean, we're getting there, you know. It leaps and bounds, you know. Great leadership within the city, you know, opportunities for artists, that sort of thing. I mean, there's so many great things that are hidden in plain sight, you know. Mm-hmm. Things are working. We just sort of held back, you know, at the moment. I mean, not just this city in particular, but everywhere. Mm-hmm. Renovation maybe of sort of transport, getting people in. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want an area that's maybe like a restaurant district that has live music. You know what I mean? Like you'd see in other, you know, say New Orleans or places like that. You know, and like some of these ideas sort of come and go a little bit. Those sorts of things, really. I mean, it's like city infrastructure as well as entertainment. And the entertainment aspect will bring people here like they once did when there was tons of theatres and movie theatres and that sort of thing. And maybe in the environment we're living in now, it's a different aspect of performance.
Hopefully this will change soon.
Andrew, would you like to hang around for a little something we call plugs? Thinking about it.
What is it?
He's not going to say yes.
We do this thing called plugs.
Explain.
Oh. Do you want to hang around for a little something we call plugs?
So I get to plug something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
All right.
Mate, it was so cryptic.
Pranking Waves Plugs.
Hey, Podcastia, let's see what this guest has to plug.
Oh, man.
I know, I'm hard work, man. I'm seriously. Imagine if I was if I was your teacher, you'd be like,
I would be failing your class.
You again.
I think I'd be cutting it.
You were in art and design.
I went to art and design high school, yeah.
Your work's great, man.
Yeah, thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
I really enjoy it.
Check us out online at TrentonWaves.com. Like us on Facebook, like us several hundred thousand times. I don't know if you can do that, but try it. Follow us on Instagram and everywhere else. Trenton Waves, the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. And now, Andrew, my question to you is, where can people find you? Where can people see you? Where can people know you? Where can they go online to experience all things Wilco?
Well, nowhere.
Great.
No, I mean, I've got two commercial sites. I'm not really that busy on social media. I find it kind of bogs me down.
What, do you have a website and stuff?
I do for the company. So I have two websites, right? So for portraiture, it's PrincetonPortraitPhotography.com. And then the other one is PrincetonProductPhotography.com. So simply, it's those two sites. On Instagram, I'm Wilco Wilco, WILKO_WILKO. But I have a lot of other secretive private channels for music, you know, specific interest things, you know. Mm-hmm. As you know, social media can get polluted, right?
Yes.
Right. You start to click on one thing and follow someone and they're kind of busy and you're like, oh, you're baking cookies again. That's a mute.
Yes. I'm practicing social media distancing.
Well played.
Thank you.
Oh, can I play you a bit of a song I've been working on?
Absolutely.
Sure, why not?
Yes.
I said, you want to hang out with for plugs? Oh, yeah. He goes, I get to plug something? I'm like, yeah. He plugs two things. And then he goes, oh, can I play you something on my phone?
That's a plug.
But listen, wait a minute. Don't you have other stuff that people can go and check out?
He just said.
No, but we got to search him out. We got to go and hunt.
He's not.
He's elusive.
He is elusive.
I am. I'm pretty private.
You're more elusive than John Hatch.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, sometimes, I mean, there's a really good reason for social media, right? And sometimes people use it. I don't think I've been really necessarily using it in the most ideal way, because it was sort of whatever I would see. It wasn't very specific to, like, a photography channel.
Right.
So I was like, oh, you know, I'm following all of these things that don't have completion for me. So I started a separate Instagram thing for my music. Right. So I'm really dedicated to music. I mean, that's really... If anybody was interested, there's a bunch of stuff on YouTube and Bandcamp and Spotify and all that.
From you?
Yeah.
So how do they find you with that?
Okay, so that...
That's what a plug is!
I know what a plug is.
He's losing it.
No, I'm just enjoying your expressions.
Okay.
Contortions. So this music project I have, I'm really into as it changes forms, and like the name of the music project is Data Wolf.
Okay, right? There's something now.
So it's like DATA_Wolf, right?
And with the underscore. You like the underscores?
Yeah, I don't know why I do. have spatial issues, right? So the name came from some NASA software. Like that's doing some research when I was thinking of words or names for like a project or whatnot, and that popped in my mind. Like the things that I'm interested in, and that's like, you know, like data, which is pixels, and you know,
yeah, sure,
that kind of thing. And then the animal, like something real simple, you know, that goes together, and then the idea of those two things going together. So I've been writing music for like the last, I don't know, like 5 years, I suppose. You know,
can
like
you play something?
Sequencing.
Yeah, why don't you play us something? See what you're up to. Dark. I think you're a wolf.
Yeah, it's
dark. Very cinematic.
Yeah. I feel like a movement, like yes, going through a tunnel or something.
Well, this is the music for that Green Man project. So the Black Shuck project,
okay.
I put out an album of the music that was sort of in between, you know, the reading and all that. So for the next one, so my motivation and my contribution is to write the music for that and then put out like a full length, like a 40-minute thing. So that's going to be one of the tracks on the Green Man piece.
So now for the Green Man podcast, are you going to be talking over that music?
It might be in there as an intro or,
okay,
or bumpers between
right,
things.
Right.
Well, I've actually written a lot. I've got to sort of deal with it and process it now. I've got probably about eight to ten finished pieces that are all the sequence programming stuff, and like
very
another
cool
8 pieces that are guitar pieces.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah,
trying
yeah
to figure out how they go together. I've just got to start recording it. And
neat.
Yeah.
Have you ever worked with Bill Nobes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He recorded a song of mine for Analog Trenton.
Oh, so you're
okay,
on Analog Trenton.
Okay.
I am,
we
yeah.
We have that, yes.
We have that album.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool,
CD,
isn't it? It's
yes,
very
cool.
It's a good listen.
It
yes
really is. What track is yours on there?
Data Wolf.
Oh, really?
I think the title of the song was When Everything Falls Apart. Kind
oh,
of dark.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That's you?
It's just noise. Yeah, it's like, I kind of did it wrong. Like, Bill offered up this amazing, like, you know, platform, and it, when you've recorded on tape, it's very expensive. Like
mm-hmm
1-inch, 2-inch tape, you're seeing
yeah, analog
like,
tape,
seeing
that's right,
dollars roll by.
Absolutely.
You know,
mm-hmm,
and I was like a little nervous. I had my stuff together, that was for sure.
Okay.
But we struggled with a little bit of my needs of being able to hear what I was doing in all these different areas with the keyboards running and the sequences, analog synths, and then playing really noisy guitar. So a bit of volume control issue. So I couldn't really hear anything. You know, I had a fair amount of, which I should not have had, like bravado about,
mm-hmm,
you know, about this piece of music at the time. So I don't know if it's like my best representation of it, but he was so generous to do all of that.
Oh,
yeah.
Bill is
you know
amazing. He was on the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was actually voted one of the top 15 shows
mm-hmm
out of 50,
mm-hmm,
was the Bill Nobes interview.
Well, someone's got to be last.
Yeah, you got to listen to that interview. It was good. It was just him and me. Christina took a day off that day.
It was a no people day.
It was a no people day, exactly.
An NP day. I'd love to record with him again. Now, my approach would be very different in
mm-hmm
that I think at that moment I asked him, are you an engineer or a producer? Because they're quite different roles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he answered engineer. And I was like, okay. So then that would mean, you know, what responsibilities musically would be, you know, I would be contributing to.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
But I think that changed quite quickly. And
mm-hmm
then he sort of in these other places, like technician, producer, engineer.
Right.
So
right,
I would probably want to be a bit, wouldn't be as tight on the reins and be like, okay, what do you think? You
mm-hmm
capture this the way best you think.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I think
so.
I would trust him with my life with that stuff.
His setup was amazing. Like when I saw that board that he had, like in his house was this
like 56 track.
Like, first of all, how did you even move it?
Yeah, it was from Caesar's Palace, right? They needed 6 guys to move it.
Yeah, it's pretty massive,
yeah,
those boards.
From Caesar's, yeah.
And then, like, the tape with all the different size tapes that he had is amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that record. I've listened to it a bunch. I'm very happy to be on it, and especially it did exactly what he wanted. It was this time capsule of the
mm
music that was happening
totally
in Trenton at the
yeah
time.
Totally.
So even though some of the bands have moved on, you know, like many of the core people are still around,
mm-hmm,
that are real drivers of the music scene, and
mm-hmm
they work so hard and they're so creative.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any artwork in that album?
I do. I have a photograph of the Wall of Goya in Food
yeah
Bazaar.
I thought you did. I thought I saw your name in the album too, and I wasn't sure.
I'm always fascinated by like that wall of Goya beans.
You like that?
I've taken so many photographs and films.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I think there's something legitimately wrong with you. I really do.
Why?
You're just weird.
Where else do you see like a wall of Goya? Actually, one aisle over, if you're shopping, they've got the most incredible collection of piñatas.
Do you know Food Bazaar is one of my most fascinating places? I walk in there and go, I can't believe that this place exists.
I know. It's mad,
it's
isn't it?
So wonderful.
It's hard to get out in a rush, though. They're pretty slow at checkout.
And now with social distancing, you're in there for the duration.
Mm.
Yeah. It's also, I love that nothing's really organized the way I would organize it. And it's like, well, I want beans. So there's beans here, but there's also beans over there and beans over there.
It depends on which corner of the world you're going to.
Exactly. It's like,
so
yeah.
That place is my number one on my list. Like when I have, you know, a shoot at the studio and I need props, mm-hmm. like a straight.
You go to Food Bazaar for props?
I totally can see that.
Like for what?
I was doing like a shoot that needed a lot of colored drinks.
Okay.
Oh yes.
So okay, I knew that they would have like large
Fabuloso.
Yeah. Well, that's a cleaning product.
Oh, but that looks like a drink.
It's not something you drink.
I know. See, but that's the problem.
It's purple. You shouldn't. Yeah, the other ones are really sort of bright green and yellow and orange and stuff. And they're like pennies on the dollar. So yeah. It's just going to be used in a shot, and I'm probably going to chuck it away.
No, but you could use it again in 15 years. You know it's still going
to
be good.
I did keep a set for quite a while to see what would happen to it.
What happened to it?
Nothing.
It looks the same.
Nothing.
You know? So if I need spices or like, you know, some sort of vegetable for like sort of some set, like Food Bazaar, I'm kind of excited
to go
there.
Something like in a sack or something.
Like potatoes? I don't know. Yeah. No, nothing usually that bulky.
Like, you know, rice.
They have all those interesting vegetables and fruits there that, you know, when I go in, I'm like, ooh, look at this.
From around the world.
Yeah.
And stuff, you're like, what is that?
We
should have to take photos
have that,
of
like,
those things.
Yeah.
We still have that can of, like, pineapple tuna or something at home.
That's not pineapple.
What was that?
Tuna.
It was something weird like that.
It's tuna with
holding
vegetables
on for that for
it.
A special occasion then. Date night.
Date night, that's right. And
either
we'll watch
that or the apocalypse.
Mystery can.
Hey, man, it's not going to go bad.
I
don't know. Things go bad.
Styrofoam, cockroaches, and that tuna are going to survive any kind of nuclear blast.
Oh, man. I just lost a bottle of a can of tonic water. Actually empty in the refrigerator.
It
was sealed and empty.
Really?
So it must have opened. It also was exploded, so it was popped out.
Oh, that's what that is?
So it must... Then when I cleaned the refrigerator at the bottom, it was liquidy. So
but that was weird. I did see that in there.
Yeah, like, there's an empty, unopened can. Something went
with
wrong.
With the quinine in it. Yeah, she likes to make vodka twists.
Mm.
Vodka tonic.
She likes to make vodka tonics.
It's not a vodka twist.
Vodka twist.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, Andrew, anything else? You good? We've been at this like an hour already.
This is great.
I got nothing to do. This is great.
You got nothing going on.
This is great. Yeah, no.
Really?
Thank you so much for having me on the
show.
Oh, my goodness. And I love your questions.
You enjoyed your time in our studio?
Yeah, I've been looking forward to it for ages. We tried to do this for so many times.
Yes.
And then my schedule is so mercurial. Like, 1 minute I'm able to do.
What does that mean? What does that mean? It's mercurial. What does that mean?
Ever-changing.
Okay, just say that. Will you please?
All right.
It's now you learned a new word.
No,
that's
because I'm nodding
thing.
And I'm like, I know that I don't know what that means, and I'm nodding my head like I understand. Oh,
well,
it's so mercurial. I hate when that happens.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have used that word. Well, we had so many what ifs. Like, can you do it? Maybe it was like penciled in, and then
and
I
you
wasn't.
Canceled
wasn't
on me.
I did. I'm sorry. I rarely, rarely do that, and I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
But I'm glad it finally happened.
Yeah.
It's probably one of those organic things that you know. There's more content. The longer you wait, there's more to talk about.
Hey, man, it's just, you know.
It's better.
But he makes John Hash look like the most accessible guy in the world.
Come on.
Accessible meaning available, you know.
Yeah.
We had a hard time getting John on the show, too, because he's a busy guy, too. So
she would take a bullet for John Hash. She has a big crush on John Hash.
All right, we don't have to go there again.
Look at him. He's so quiet. And he's making these weird faces. And this is an audio show, and no one's appreciating this.
And I really can't even see it because the mic's
on. Oh, there's a lot of stuff in the way. John Hatch bought the first Trenton Film Festival poster.
Oh, really?
Either it was at an auction or
how
something.
How was that traced? What? How do you know that?
There was a fundraiser or something,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. Like the Playhouse.
Did you design
yeah,
the poster?
Yeah,
oh,
did,
that's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because remember, he did it for free.
I just thought that was really cool.
That's
you
right,
know,
yes.
I think, yeah, like that was his give back, you know, his mm-hmm. sort of
yeah.
just gift of thanks.
We have some
yeah.
Angel Wilkinson stuff in our house.
Yes, we do. We have to have it framed.
Yeah, we can win for a frame.
Speaking of that first job that you did, it's funny because we were just talking about that. You were talking about Kevin O'Leary giving advice to people who are looking for jobs.
Yes, right.
And he said the very thing. Like, go and do something for free.
Yeah, be willing to work for
be
free.
Be willing to work for free.
Right.
Then you'll the people see the quality of your work, and then
right.
you'll
the,
get
the
hired.
The point he was trying to make, I was on a webinar with him last night, the point he was making was that you're already doing it. You're already home watching TV. Why not just stay home and work and do it for free just to show your worth? You know, you're already doing it.
Well, I would amend that a little bit. I mean, I have...
Well, there was other stuff he said other than that.
No, but I mean, if you sort of look at it to do it for experience or opportunity, because
mm-hmm.
if you sort of, you know, free is that word there, you already equate a value to what you maybe would be getting, you know, so just do it for experience or
right,
opportunity
right.
or networking.
That's what I mean.
Like, so many
mm-hmm.
good things come of it.
Right.
Like, that's for sure. Like when
do it
you,
because you love doing it and... For the experience, like
yeah,
you said.
When you can. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
exactly. I think when you have a good balance, though, like, honestly, you can go... Because any non-profit might take as much as you can give.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and ask of you to, you know, can you come again? Can you do this? Can you do that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to say no sometimes
right.
if you feel slightly invested. I think
mm-hmm.
if you have a plan or a strategy with the volunteerism and then you're talking to the people that are sort of arranging that, you can just give them your time...
Mm-hmm.
limit,
yeah,
like
right.
what you were willing to do for
right.
a certain amount of your contribution.
That's
and
true.
Then reevaluate it later. So going into it, you both know the timeline of what the investment's going to be.
Right,
like
the expect, parameters.
A bit of clarity with expectations.
Yes,
that's
yes.
right. Yes.
I agree with that. I totally agree.
I think the last time we saw Andrew was at the ribbon cutting.
Oh, really? That was fun.
Wow.
January.
Yeah, that was
yeah.
fun.
I think you mooshed a coffee of me at the local Starbucks, actually, after that.
Oh, maybe
did
you did.
You paid for a cup of coffee for me?
Maybe, I don't know.
Did I really?
That sounds like something you would do.
Yeah.
Did hey. You ever pay back Bill?
Listen,
Bill Volokey for
Bill
the...
Volokey can go jump in a lake. How do you like that?
Oh, that's another.
That
story.
Ribbon
right.
cutting was so stellar. You
it
told
was
me you did such an amazing job of letting everybody know and not overdoing it, like just a couple gentle reminders. And I was so psyched to come to that. And you saw the amount of people here.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what a show of faith, right? You know, like, real believers. They love the idea. They're
mm-hmm.
here. You know, everybody was happy.
It
was
great, man.
It was,
that was a very great day.
It
was
really cool.
Day.
Yeah, you know?
That was a great day. 72 people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, come on.
It's crazy.
It was a lovely day, too, outside. It was just everything was really nice. I loved that we had local people,
yeah.
you know, helping us out with the coffees.
Absolutely.
And
that's the real
yeah.
Trenton thing, you know, like
the
that, the support.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
like to be there.
To collaborate. I think when we collaborate, we can all get better rather than, you know,
yes.
fighting.
Yeah, we're not into competing.
Yeah, and we're a really collaborative city, I feel, in my experience.
Yeah, competition is healthy, but collaboration is better.
So much
absolutely.
Better.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I love what One Up, One Down and Finca Cafe are doing together. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You walk in a Finca Cafe, they're selling One Up, One Down coffee in there.
Yeah, that's the way it should be, right?
That's totally
you know,
the way
if it works,
be.
If it's a win-win for everybody, that's
yeah,
the way
absolutely.
It should work.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of, say, a larger restaurant, they might get coffee that's really inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from a dealer that they get everything else. You can't
yeah.
get that piece of business off them because it's sort of increased accounting or it might cost them a little bit more money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not looking
exactly.
at it like a community build.
Right.
You
exactly.
know, they're looking
right.
at a cost per cup.
Sure.
You know, so it's a different...
Yeah.
A different viewpoint, and that's great. What's about Trenton?
Yes, yes.
It's good stuff.
It is very good.
Well, listen, we're going to wrap this up because this is
okay.
going to go into a part two as the way if we keep going.
And we're going to go for a walk.
And we're going to go for a walk
mm-hmm.
because that's just what we do
mm-hmm.
with my black socks. All right, everybody, Podcastia, thank you for tuning in. This has been yet another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at trentonwaves.com.